want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon.
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live in this special Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. Doing it today simply because I won't be here tomorrow. And I'm gonna try to wade through very cautiously, very carefully, and without deliberately trying to offend anyone. But I already know that normally, when I talk, somebody gets offended, which years ago used to bother me a lot, because I my nature is I want everybody to like me, and it would bother me when people would jump at me or call me names or whatever, just, you know, things, childhood, Freud would have a field day with me. So I know for a fact that yesterday's program and today's program, it is going to be offensive to somebody out there. Simply because of I could avoid the issue altogether. I could not ever say the word vaccine ever again. But I don't think that helps anybody. So, I have to address the issues at hand with the final authority to everything that we're to believe. The final authority to everything in this universe is the written Word of God. Not the alleged Word of God that you felt one day. Not the alleged Word of God that you thought in your mind one day. Not the alleged Word of God that you heard from somebody on a sermon or a YouTube video or a blog or a neighbor or a Facebook post or a tweet or anything. And there are a lot of alleged words of God flying all over the earth. But there's one written record of the Word of God. And do we believe that God's Word has the answer to everything? If we say yes, then we're correct. God's Word has the answer to everything. It isn't like things just popped up that God said, whoops, well, I didn't consider that when I gave the law to Moses, or I didn't consider that when I showed Paul the mysteries. God foreknew everything. Everything. COVID, vaccines, medicines, things like that. So today, as promised, we're going to continue the understanding of what DNA is, which we covered some of the basics yesterday. And then today we're going to look at DNA transcription, DNA translation, and what that does and how that is going to relate to this COVID vaccine. Now, I'm going to read a couple of emails, and I'm not going to give the names of the people that sent them. And I'm not going to be critical in a personal way. I'm not criticizing any individual person, especially the two people that wrote the emails. And I'm not attempting to criticize anything that you stand for, you believe, or that you feel, perceive, or that you know, or whatever. Now, if I happen to disagree with something that you said, I will address the disagreement. OK, Okay? So let me start with this one, and this really is why I'm dealing with this issue. And I'm sticking my neck out here because, like I said yesterday, not everybody's going to agree with. Some people are going to disagree with everything I said. Some people are going to agree with some things I said. Some people are going to agree with everything I said. And that's going to be very few people. But can we not at least, can I not at least inject what I think is God's answer to this issue? You've heard from everybody else. You've had everybody scare the daylights out of you over a COVID vaccine. So that's why I'm attempting to deal with this. And this sort of presents itself in this email. Pastor Mike, what do you think about the fact that in the vaccine development, fetuses are used not only as ingredients, but as guinea pigs as well? I think the medical use of aborted fetuses increases the political pressure to make abortion more acceptable, since it, after all, saves lives by enabling medical companies to develop better vaccines. Can I then give my silent consent to this by taking myself or giving to my children these vaccines? I feel it is the same as accepting child sacrifice to Moloch because it is supposed to give us better crops. Now, that issue I agree with 100%. I am adamantly pro-life, anti-abortion, and 100% against the use of any type of aborted fetal tissue for any reason, period. I am 100% against it. Now, did my mother know in 19 whatever, when I was getting vaccinations? I don't know if they were doing it back then. I don't believe that they were developing vaccines prior to the 1973 Supreme Court decision to legalize abortion. I don't believe they were using aborted fetal cells in vaccines prior to that. I don't think they were. Vaccines have been around a lot longer than that. Did my mom know about that? Even if they did my mom know that? No. Did I know it? No, I was 5. Or 6 or whatever. However, I do know that some vaccines and, get ready for this one, some medicines, some commercial available products of varying types, whether it actually includes the use of fetal tissue or they used it in the testing process somehow, some way. I do know that we are living in a day where there is a growing, an increasing number of things and companies around the world that have decided to use stem cells, fetal cells, fetal tissue lines that go all the way back to the 1970s. Now, do I have an exhaustive list of everything out there on the market that somehow, some way, they used aborted fetal tissue to test it, to activate it, to stimulate it, to do whatever? No, I don't have that list. And if you sent me one on the internet, it may or may not be 100% correct. And my one legitimate question that I have is, since there are so many things now using aborted fetal tissue, how do we escape that? Now, again, I know that now that I know that some vaccines make use of that, in the future, before I receive another vaccination, I will check to see where it came from. Now that I know that, I check to see where it came from. I have not been vaccinated. I couldn't tell you the last time I've been vaccinated. And it has a lot to do with that issue. Okay? So, if you think that yesterday or today that I endorsed vaccinations across the board, you're wrong. Because I didn't, and I wouldn't, and I'm not going to. Okay? So, on that issue, I agree. Is it true that all vaccines are that way? I don't know that it is. That's something you'll have to decide. Now, let me also throw something else in. How are we saved? How are we saved? By grace. If I knowingly partake of a vaccine, let's say that I knowingly partook of a vaccine that I knew heavily relied on aborted fetal cells, I would consider that being wrong. Is it more wrong than anything else I've done? Nope. Is it more wrong than anything you've done? Nope. Certainly isn't. Does God categorize a sin as one sin being worse than another? Not according to Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3, where Paul specifically addressed the issue of if you say thou shalt not steal, but you're an adulterer, then are you better than the person that stole something? No, nada, nil. And that was the purpose of Romans 3:23 when it said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I have never murdered an individual in my life. But does that make me less guilty than somebody that has? Absolutely not. And I think we need to keep that perspective in place here. Is that, yes, I have a conscience, and my conscience works fairly well, and I know when I've done something wrong, God deals with me about it, just like He does you, and He chastens and corrects me, and tries to drive that sin out of me, and before it's all said and done with, by the time I get to heaven, I will be 100% sin-free. Guarantee you. Okay? So, just understand that we're not saved, nor do we keep our salvation by what sins we commit or what sins we don't commit, period. Except for, of course, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that, to me, is top number one issue. Are you going to heaven? Is the big question. Now, let me keep reading this email. He says, I'm not asking this to be right or to judge anyone else, and I get that, or to start an argument. I got that too. I simply need counseling. My wife has changed her mind about vaccines, and she's pleading to me to do the same. And he sent me a 4-minute clip, and it was, I guess, some sort of vaccine doctor that was being, he was in deposition. And they edited the whole deposition down to some gotcha statements that he made about he didn't believe in God and he hates religion. And I get that. Most scientists in this world do not believe in God. They hate religion and they don't like the fact that we object to things for religious reasons, like the use of aborted fetal cells in testing. Okay? So with that, I am in agreement with you. What I am intending to do with yesterday and today is to not address the issue of whether a vaccine is blatantly wrong or always right. I'm not addressing that issue. The issue that I'm addressing is the COVID vaccine and whether it's the mark of the beast is the issue I'm dealing with. Now, here's the second email. And again, I hope I'm not being deliberately offensive to the people that whose emails I've chosen. I'm not trying to have an attitude with anybody. There are some things I agree with, and I explained that concerning the aborted fetal tissue issue. And now, here's another email. Pastor Mike, I do not expect a response, but wanted to share with you what I've learned. I've done extensive research on all vaccines, even the history of how they started and the dangers of them and the damage they have done to humans. You will have to dig deeper on your own to find out the truth. Now, okay. So, you read a lot of websites, and you looked at a lot of YouTube videos, and you listened to a lot of podcasts. And I don't know what you read. I don't know what you looked at. I don't know where your source of information came from. I've said this before, and I will say it 1,000 times again before I die, hopefully, that just as much as I don't trust the liberal left-wing media, I don't always trust the right-wing conspiracy media either. They are just as capable of lying. History is always in the hand of the writer, is it not? Whoever writes history writes it from their perspective, and they write it how they want it to look. Okay? And especially in something like vaccines. Has vaccines in the 100 plus years that vaccines, I guess it's 100 years, has vaccines harmed anybody? Yes! Yes, 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 yes! Almost killed my mother. I said that yesterday. So I'm not endorsing every vaccine for any reason. Never would I do that. Okay? But I also don't agree that they are absolutely no good. We should have never done anything like that. I do not agree with that statement. I apologize if that offends you, but I do not agree with that statement. Anyway, you're not addressing what else is in all vaccines. The point, I'm saying it again, these two episodes of PMO have not been to address the vaccine issue in general. The question was asked me about the two COVID vaccines that are about to be out there. That's the issue. And I'm addressing the issue of, are they the mark of the beast, and do they change people's DNA? And I'm gonna answer those questions, probably not satisfactorily to some people, but I'm gonna answer them regardless. So again, I said this yesterday, I know that I'm not gonna change everybody's mind on vaccines. I don't intend to, and I don't care if I do or not. You've done your research. You've decided this is how you want to live your life. There is no way in the world that I'm A, responsible for your decisions, B, that I have any judgment on your decisions on how you live your life and what you decide to do and not do. I have no say in that whatsoever. The Bible says, "Whosoever art thou that judgest another man's servant?" You're a servant of God. I'm a servant of God. I have no place telling you what you can and cannot do with your body. I have no place to tell you that. Likewise. Okay? Let's see here. You mentioned aborted fetal cells. I agree with that 100%. Once I found this out by both research and by my naturalistic doctor, I kind of panicked. Let me also say this. I don't trust every doctor in the world. Medical doctor, osteopath. I don't trust every doctor in the world. And I don't trust every naturopath either. And you can't tell me that all that naturopaths are right and all medical doctors are wrong. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that none of them ever lie. Whether willingly or not knowingly. But you can't tell me that they never lie. Okay? Anyway, I asked the Lord for forgiveness for taking into his temple past vaccinations in the first... Okay, now, let me say this. I'm asking the question, are we defiled by what goes in the body? It's a very simple question with a very quick, simple answer. The answer is always no. Jesus made that, and I'm going to do something. What verse am I looking for here? Let's see here. Not kill the body. We're not trying to kill the body. Where was it? Okay, Luke 12:22. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, they neither sow not. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the verse where Jesus addressed the issue of what cometh out of the body. Okay? Where is it? Defileth. That's the word I'm looking for. Here we go. Matthew 15. In fact, let me put that on the screen just to make it fair. Matthew chapter 15. And he called the multitude, verse 10, and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And then he explained that. He said, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? You know what that is, don't you? That's the toilet, the cho, the potty, the loo. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're apologetic to God. I get that. But as a matter of doctrine, we are not defiled. The temple of God is not defiled by what entereth into man. It's defiled by what comes out of man. And Jesus made that very, very clear. So you said that when you prayed this, I heard the Holy Spirit say, do not do it again. I can't tell you that that was the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you it wasn't the Holy Spirit. What I would say to you is it in the Word of God? Again, there are a lot of alleged words of God in this world coming from a lot of places. But there is one written record of the Word of God. That's the standard that we use for everything, and even differences between us. And I've had great conversations with people that I did not agree with, but because they use scripture, hey, you use scripture, okay? I'm not going to argue with you. So the email goes on and says, also, do not forget that there are nanoparticles, particles, I think is what you meant. Not yet. By the way, to say the word nanoparticles and then say that's evil, not all nanoparticles are evil. In some cases, they're talking about very, very, very small particles of fat. Lipid tissue in nanoparticle form. Because I just read an article about one of the COVID vaccines, and it uses lipid nanoparticles, which is nothing more than a little boat to carry the messenger RNA in. All it is fat tissue. Okay? So I think a lot of scary things can be made about nanoparticles. Not all nanoparticles are evil robots to turn us into the mark of the beast. Humanized mice in these coming vaccines, microneedle array patch. That's a new one. I haven't heard of that one. I've done my own research on all this, and now that God has shown me the truth, I cannot disobey it. I never asked you to, never suggested that you do. And I specifically said many times yesterday, I said again today, I'm not here to defile anybody's conscience. If you think God is leading you in this direction, that is between you and God. It is not up to me, and I have no say in it. I might have an opinion about whether I think you're right or wrong, but I don't have a say in what you do in your life. Likewise, no one has the right to judge anybody else for the decisions that they make. No one does. That's up to God. I've got people coming to the radio station every day, Turkana and Samburu, chewing me up one side and down the other for what I said about Dr. Awar. Okay? Why should they care? They keep saying, God is going to punish him. He's going to burn in hell forever. If God wants to punish me, he doesn't need their permission, and he certainly doesn't need mine. I tell you that right now. All right. So anyway, the emails, they were fair, and I appreciate that. And I agree with you on some things, and some things I do not agree with you on. And it's, but does it affect whether or not we're going to heaven? Does it affect that? We're not saved by the works of the flesh. We're not saved or not saved because we took medicine or a vaccine. That much to me is very, very clear. Now, getting into how DNA works in our body. Okay? How does it work? What's the mechanism? What's the process? And again, this is one of those things that you have to say, there has to be a designer and a creator of all of this. Consider just the human body and the millions of different things that go on in our body every day. Now, how many different species of life are there on this planet? Thousands? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands that are uniquely different than every other species of life on this planet. And evolutionary scientists want us to believe that there is no God and there is no designer to all of the species of life and how evolution supposedly wrote all of their DNA completely different. All at the same time over millions of years. I'm not buying it. Never have I believed that, ever. Especially the more you know. So, let's take a member of our body. Insulin is a member of our body. It is something that our body needs. It regulates the blood sugar in our body. It's produced by the body. And I have pictures up here, things that I don't eat near this stuff anymore, partly because my taste buds have been changed because of COVID. I don't drink Diet Mountain Dew anymore. And I get criticized even for that. Oh, that's got poison in it. Come on. Diet Mountain Dew, fried chicken, ice cream. Now, I do like beans and cornbread. I'll tell you that right now. And I have a cheeseburger up there, but it's not a mushroom Swiss burger from Hardee's. Okay? Now, out of all this stuff that we eat, which one of these contains insulin? Is insulin in fried chicken? Is it in cornbread beans? Kind of wish it was. Okay. Where do we drink insulin from? We don't. Our body has to manufacture it. It has to make it. So how does that happen? How does our body make insulin or any hormone or a blood cell or plasma or spit or snot? How does our body make skin cells, hair cells, heart cells, lung cells? How does our body do that? How does it happen? What's the process? So, the formula for the manufacturing of insulin is in the DNA. The formula for what proteins to put together, how to put them together. Let's say you're going to put a barbecue grill together or a whatever you buy from the store for Christmas for the kids, and you got some assembly required, really? And the instructions are written in Chinese, and you don't just get a list of parts. You get a list of parts, you get a diagram, pictures, hopefully, of how to put it together and what order. Do you get what about baking something? What about cooking food? A recipe, you can't just say, well, you need flour and sugar to make a cake and eggs and milk. Does that work? No. You can't put an egg, a cup of milk, a cup of flour in the oven and think you're going to get a cake out of it. Written instructions have to be printed on the recipe to not only show you what things are necessary to make that cake, number one. Number two, how to put them together in the right order. And DNA contains every bit of that information. It literally manufactures from the things that are in my body, pulled from the things that I do eat, or things that my body manufactures from the things that I eat. Okay? But how does the instructions turn into insulin? And this is the key right here. Or let's say it like this. How does the Bible, scripture verses, make a saint? How did you become a Christian? What work of man's hands produced Christianity in you? Nada, none, nil, zilch, big goose egg. There was no work of any man's hands whatsoever, past, present, or future, that made you into a born-again, Bible-believing Christian who's going to heaven. How does a scripture verse become a saint? First, the first thing that must happen is called DNA transcription. Break that word down. A transcript. YouTube will make a transcript of what I'm saying. It'll write down the words that I'm saying to you. Look at your Bible, Deuteronomy 17. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law. Where? In a book. That's what DNA is. It's the book. Out of that which is before the priests and Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. So, question number one. Can you put a Bible under your pillow at night and wake up the next day and be born again? No. Doesn't work that way, does it? What do you got to do? You got to read it. Or hear it read. Faith comes by hearing. That's how it works. And again, You hear preachers all over the place going, well, the word must be applied. You must do the word. Excuse me. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. How many brain cells did you personally manufacture last night during your sleep? How many? None. That's what I thought you'd say. Because you personally couldn't make a brain cell if your life depended on it. So, what made your brain cells while you were sleeping last night? DNA did. In fact, we find out that basically every process of our body is ruled over and governed by the book, DNA. And it does for us what we can't do ourselves. Somebody shout, get happy, say amen. Forget about what we disagree about. Think about this. This is awesome. The book. We don't do anything. Let me quote scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because what do? When we think we've done something that pleases God, oh, we tell everybody about it, don't we? We boast. Or what do when we say, I no longer will do this ever again? Oh, we like to boast about it. And you know what we do? We boast about what we do or don't do against other people who do or don't do what we do or don't do. So that's why God, excuse me, that's why God took you out of it. You're not saved by your works, because when you think you're saved by your works, you'll boast about them. Either what you do or what you don't do. And Romans 2 and 3 made it very, very clear to us that just because you don't commit adultery doesn't mean you don't sin as equally as somebody who does. You go read them. You cannot boast of anything. So what does it say after that? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Who does the work in us? Who is it that anything good that you've ever done in your life, who did that? Was it you? No. It was God through you. In fact, I'll get more specific. It was the Word of God through you. That's DNA transcription. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So God said, you got to write a copy of the book. That's DNA, that's Bible. How did we get our Bible today? It was transcribed. It was copied. How did you get saved? Did somebody sit and read to you the entire Bible front to back and you said, okay, I believe that? No. They gave you specific verses, didn't they? Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 10, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, 1 John 1:9, Romans 3:16, maybe some others. They gave you specific verses. And that's how things in your body works. When your body needs insulin, does it read the entire genome of your DNA to make one thing? No. It finds the place, I don't know this process, but it finds the place where the gene sequence and the instructions to make insulin, and it takes that part. When I preach a message, do I read the whole Bible front to back to everybody? No. Nobody would sit there for that. It'd take forever. We give them pieces at a time to build this and then to build that. And it's all controlled by the Word of God. The book rules in our body just like the book is supposed to rule in the body of Christ. Say amen to that. So this is what DNA transcription looks like. There is a machine in your cells. Remember what I said about your cells yesterday? The Levites in the tabernacle did according to the words that were in the law. One group of Levites had to examine the sacrifices. One Levite priest had to take the ash pan out. One Levite priest had to kill the sacrifice. One Levite priest had to deal with the blood. You had one Levite priest for this, one Levite priest for that. But they were all doing it according to what? Moses? No. According to the book. The book told them what to do, and they did exactly what the book said. So inside your cells, okay, in the parts of your cell that produce things, you have a machine in there called RNA polymerase. RNA, because it doesn't need both sides of the DNA double helix. It doesn't need both of them. Because of the rules, it only needs one side. Because if this is adenine here, this has to be thymine here. Where's my DNA? I don't see it. If this is cytosine here, then this has to be guanine. So it can take either strand and know exactly what it's the information that it needs. Can you not see Jesus now that you know the gospel? Can you not see Jesus just as clearly in the Old Testament now as you can in the New Testament? You bet you can. Who is the rock that followed the Israelites through the wilderness? Is Christ. Who is the good shepherd in the Old Testament? Well, his name is David in the Old Testament. It's Jesus. Okay? Who's the high priest? Jesus. Who's the lamb? Jesus. So you understand me? You can identify who Jesus is in the Old Testament just as well as you can in the New Testament. So it doesn't matter which side of the DNA you're reading, because the result's going to be the same. Isn't that cool? So watch this. The RNA polymerase does only, it's the only thing in your body that can do this. Open the book. Remember Revelation 5? God's got a book, it's right hand sealed with seven seals, the Holy Spirit. Who's the only one worthy to open that book? Jesus, the RNA polymerase. You have to open the book so you can read the book. So RNA polymerase breaks the hydrogen bonds, takes the portion of your DNA where it tells how to make insulin, and it doesn't use the original copy of the DNA. It makes a copy of that part of the DNA. And you know what it's called? Messenger RNA. You remember how God said that the word had been given by his angels, signified by angels? You know what he meant by that? His messengers. Moses, David, Samuel, Isaiah, Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, John. Those were his messengers. And they all had a different message that was part of the collective that made the entire Bible. So, if your body needs insulin, it finds the area in the DNA, it opens the book, and then it starts making a copy of the DNA called messenger RNA. The messengers. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, remember, that's Jesus. Oh, and by the way, when Jesus did this, did he read the entire Bible? No, he read Isaiah 61, and it said to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. Because that's what RNA polymerase does. As soon as it's done copying what it needs to make insulin, it closes it back up. That's what Jesus did there. Isn't that cool? And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And do you know what he said after that? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Woo! Isn't it? Just think about it. He did exactly what DNA does, what RNA polymerase does. If my body needs to make insulin, then it only reads and transcribes the portion of the book that has insulin in it. And then it closes it back up. Because we don't need to make 50 gallons of it. We just need to make a little bit of it. And Jesus did that. He went to exact place in the scripture, read only that part, and he closed it and he said, this day is this done now, right here. Because it's time for it to be done. You remember the first day you start growing a little hair around your lips, under your arms? See, you went for years, didn't have any there. What happened? It came a certain time. And now a certain part of the book of your DNA got activated, got switched on. The book got opened, and all of a sudden, you start growing hair on your lip. Right? You know, all the stuff that goes with it. Your whole body, your whole outlook on life changed. Why? Because at that point, the book said, it's time. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. We looked at that yesterday. And look at this, Revelation 6. I'm not going to read all this because I don't have time. But as he opens the seals, certain things are done, right? That's what happens when your DNA is opened. Only those things are done. Isaiah 22:22. 22 is the number for Revelation. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Now you listen to me. If you think that Bill Gates has so much magic power that he can be in the place of Jesus and open up your DNA, you're wrong. Who has the key? Jesus. Now, we know in Revelation 9 that he's going to give the key to the bottomless pit to open up that which is shut. He's going to give the key. Satan's not going to steal it from him. They're not going to attack Jesus from behind, strangle him, steal the key out of his pocket, and run down and open. No. Jesus is the only one authorized to either open or shut things. Who closed and opened the ark? God did. Only he's authorized. Very important. And do you think that God, knowing that you love him, is going to let you accidentally take the mark of the beast? No. I will say that 1,000 times until the Lord calls me out of here. If you are truly sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, that's God's earnest to you. It's like giving earnest money. It's like making a deposit on a house or money down on something you put in layaway. Salvation is your layaway. And God has given you the earnest of His Holy Spirit in you, the Word of God, and the fact that you believe it, to show you that He's going to keep your home in heaven for you. And He's not going to give it away. He's not going to take it away from you. And He's certainly not going to let you, by accident, take the mark of the beast. He's going to keep you sealed until it's time. The messenger, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible does everything. And sometimes I preach and I think, God, who in the world was that for? And all of a sudden people start telling me, Pastor, that was for me. How did I know that? I didn't. It was the book that did it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when that DNA is opened, some insulin is going to get made. Amen. Let's see here. Okay. So how did this gets into the Bible issue. How did the original manuscripts, which we don't have, how did they become, like say, the Hebrew Old Testament or the Greek New Testament? I mentioned in this part of this presentation about Adam equaling the original manuscripts. Did you know that Adam is still alive? Yep, Adam is still alive. In every human being that is now currently alive on this planet, we are Adam. All of us put together, because all of us were in his loins, right? In his DNA. He, him and Eve passed down their DNA to every one of us human beings, over 7 billion now that live on this planet, are Adam and Eve. Is their original DNA still alive on this earth right now? Absolutely yes. Same way with God's Word. It had to be copied thousands of times. But God, just as God made sure that all of us humans are still human and from Adam, he's also preserved every word of his Bible, which is the seed of our second birth. See, if you don't believe that God preserved every word of the Bible, how can you be saved? Okay? Ezra is a picture of Christ. He's a ready scribe in the law of Moses. What did a scribe do? Wrote out copies of the Bible. Colossians 4:16, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Now, did the church at Colossae send their only copy? No. What did they do? They copied what Paul sent them, sent it to Laodicea. The Laodicean church took a letter from Paul. We know Paul wrote them a letter. We don't have it, but he wrote them a letter. They copied it and sent it to the church at Colossae. That's what DNA transcription is. Revelation 1:11, Jesus makes sure to tell John, what you see, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches. Did he send one book to all seven? No, he sent copies, seven copies of the same book. And listen to this now. Did every church of the seven churches get the exact same words sent to them, specifically for them? No. But were all the words there meant for everybody? Oh, yeah. That I believe. So, if the DNA is not transcripted correctly, there'll be no insulin. In fact, and I'd like to tell this story because it happened here in Jefferson County back about 25 years ago. There was a woman by the name of Patty Stallings. Not the best kind of woman in the world, okay? She wasn't, you know, Miss America or anything like that. And my brother-in-law, I think, said he knew her at one time. I don't know how well, but... Okay, back in the old days, he knew her. So, all of a sudden, she had a baby that got sick, and then it died. And they wanted to know how the baby died, so they took a blood sample, sent it to one of the local labs here, next to the hospital, which is just right over here. And the lab determined that the baby died of poisoning by ethyl alcohol. The lab determined somehow, some way, that the baby must have been poisoned because it said that the baby must have ingested antifreeze. So they arrested Patty Stallings for murder of her own baby. Now, I don't know what the deal was. She got a lousy lawyer. They had a trial. She said, I'm not guilty. Found her guilty. Put her in a slammer. Meanwhile, she had another child. So she's in prison. She's allowed to have a visit with her child. And all of a sudden now, this child comes up sick. Do the blood work. Alcohol poisoning. Aha! She did it again. However, and the police did a terrible job. They you know what they found at her house? Jugs of antifreeze. Oh my goodness! Can you imagine someone having jugs of antifreeze in their garage? So anyway, they accused her again of trying to kill her second baby while she's in prison. Well, I don't know how this other lawyer got involved, but a hotshot lawyer from somewhere got involved, looked at her case, and said she was railroaded. So they did some DNA studies on the babies. The second baby lived. And they found out that both children inherited a gene that somehow, some way manufactured a chemical similar to the alcohol that's found in antifreeze. Their own body manufactured it. Because the lawyer figured out that the lab said in the blood sample that we took from the first baby, there we determined there was as much as a whole tablespoon of antifreeze in this child's baby. Well, the body takes things in and it breaks it down. It's called a half-life. And they determine that in order for the baby, at the time of its testing, to have a tablespoon of this antifreeze in its body, the child should have ingested 60 gallons of antifreeze. Not possible. So they had a retrial, threw all of her charges out, and she won a huge lawsuit against the lab. The lab shut down, and then she put signs all over Jefferson County saying, don't vote for this prosecutor ever again, and he got voted out. But see, that's my point. If the DNA is not transcripted right, it won't make insulin. It'll make poison. Those two kids had a genetic defect that manufactured poison in their own body that the lab mistook for antifreeze. So, now that we have DNA transcription down, a copy has to be made, a working copy, okay? A working copy, so you can work with this piece of messenger RNA. So how does it become the protein insulin? Or how does a Greek New Testament become an English preacher? There's only one way. It's called RNA translation. Imagine that. Imagine that. The very process of how God translated the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic scriptures into our language is the exact same process that your body uses to take the genetic instructions, read them, understand them, and it's through RNA translation. RNA translation, the Bible has to have an interpreter, does it not? Who is the only one who can interpret? Think of Grandma. If you had the recipe to Grandma's white cake, you may not make it like Grandma. Grandma had her own style, right? But somebody had to interpret the instructions in the recipe to make the cake. That's what DNA translation is all about. Okay? It's about that. Now, do not interpretations belong to God? Amen? All through the Bible, phrases like Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. How do we know what that means? Because the Bible interpreted it for us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God gives a gift, the Holy Spirit. There's a gift called the interpretation of tongues. DNA transcription, DNA translation. And in the translation process, it actually starts, here's what your RNA, the messenger RNA does. In this machine, get back to it, okay? In this machine, it starts reading it, grabbing amino acids. And then it starts piecing them together in the right way to make proteins. You know how they say you need a protein-rich diet? You do. So you need these things, and the body starts building them. It takes the proteins now from, that it's made from the amino acids, and then it folds them. It's a thing called protein folding. In other words, it's shaping and making insulin, other hormones that your body needs, things that regulate muscle tissue, things that regulate cells, things that do this, things that there's, how many different parts are there in your body and how many of them are absolutely necessary? Most of them are. So here's the thing. If you're not getting your instructions about God from His book, you're not getting them. And you'll die. You're going to die. First Corinthians 12:10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, does that mean that all of us have to agree on everything or we can't be a Christian? No. I do believe that God limits our understanding of no man can say, I understand everything in the Bible. No man can say that. I can't say it. You can't say it. Am I wrong about some things? Well, according to some of you, yeah, I'm very wrong. And I will admit, I have my deficiencies. Great ones, to be honest. But in that sense, I'm no different than anybody else. And I think God deliberately limits us in our understanding of everything in His Word because there's one thing He wants me to do. There's another thing He wants somebody else to do. It's called cell differentiation. My hands do not supply blood to my body. That's a job for my heart. Let the heart be the heart. Let the hand be the hand. Let you be you, let me be me. Fair enough? Okay, now, this pertains again to DNA interpretation. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. It has to be interpreted. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. It has to be an interpreter. If this is not translated right, first of all, if it's not transcripted right, it's death. And if it's not translated right, it's death. There will be no insulin, but there will be poison. If that book is not translated right, how can I live forever? If the seed of my salvation is corrupt, then the fruit of that salvation is also corrupt. And now, isn't that what Jesus said? I testify unto everyone that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Any man shall add unto these things. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So, that brings us now to... unless there's... Let me look through my notes here. No, that's it. That was all of it. Now, that brings us to the issue of You've heard me warn for years now about letting medical science, whatever, change our DNA permanently. Okay? I have to address it this way because there is some, naturally, there's misunderstanding. You were told by a website that this medicine or this vaccine or this cough syrup or this soft drink or this loaf of bread will change your DNA. So if you eat that, if you drink that, if you ingest that, if you get that shot in you, if you swallow this, if you breathe this in, you're not going to go to heaven. Now, again, let me explain it like this. This is a neat illustration. Because our DNA, the truth is, our DNA in our bodies right now does get altered tens of thousands of times every single day. Solar radiation, toxins in the air, especially if you live in Los Angeles or China, Beijing, my goodness, some of those towns, the air is absolutely poison. What are they going to do? It actually acts as a corrupting agent when cells divide and some of the DNA gets corrupted from writing it from one cell to the next. Now you got a cell that's got corrupt DNA. Does that mean now that you can't go to heaven because one cell is corrupted? No. Because the body has a mechanism that corrects the corruption. It checks it out and says, this one's wrong. So, programmed cell death, the antibodies in your body will attack it and kill it. Like it's a foreign agent in your body, like it's a germ or a virus in your body, your antibodies will kill it. Now, if that doesn't happen, then you're going to start developing a tumor. And tumors do kill people. But let me explain this so you understand. People who have cancer have a mass of cells in their body with corrupt, altered DNA. We don't think that people who have cancer die and go to hell, do we? We don't think that. Right? You don't think that, do you? I mean, you're going to die of something, right? Something's going to go wrong in your body, and you're going to die. Does the Bible actually stipulate that if you die of this, you can't go to heaven? No, it is appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. There's nothing in the scriptures that says everybody can go to heaven unless they, of course, die of this. Then they can't go to heaven. Okay? So, let me illustrate it like this. Let's say you're watching something on YouTube, or you're listening to radio, or you're listening to sermon audio, and you listen to some preacher, or you go visit a church or something like whatever, and a guy rolls out a verse and says, now, according to John chapter 8, verse whatever, and he reads this verse, and it's, you're going, it don't sound like King James. What's the first thing you do? What is the first thing you do? Open up your King James. You read that verse. And you go, wait a minute. That verse that guy said, that wasn't King James. What did you just do? You corrected it in your mind. You read the King James and you said, that's the Word of God. You see my point? Do you not have the ability to discern what is from the King James Bible and what isn't from the King James Bible? Of course you do. And when you hear something, a guy says something, woman says something, or you read something on Facebook, Facebook's full of it, literally, and it's not from the King James, you go, is that from the King James? You look it up, maybe you know the verse by heart, and you're going, that ain't King James. you corrected it, didn't you? Because you're like me. I'm not going to believe anything that I don't find in a King James. I don't care how close it is. It ain't close enough for me. It's King James or it's nothing. And this is how we are. And my DNA, it's my DNA or it's nothing. Period. Now, is it possible to go through life and never hear a verse from another translation? No. So you have the Spirit in you guiding you saying, hey, we're going to correct this. Let's read the King James. Your body does the same thing. And here's what I'm trying to explain to you. It's not that easy to change an entire creature into something different than what they were when they were born. It is not easy. Now, we've developed CRISPR, and CRISPR is a dangerous tool. Okay? But as far as altering every cell of the body to make the change permanent, that's something entirely different. So just because, and I don't really believe this, but some say that genetically modified bread will change your DNA. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I don't think it does. I think it's just genetically modified bread. Okay? And since we're not allowed to know in this country whether or not something's genetically modified or not, how do you know you haven't already eaten something that's been genetically modified? I mean, that's the analogy that we have to face. Is it entirely impossible to escape every pollution in this world? And the answer is no, it's not. But fortunately, God gave us in our bodies a mechanism to correct DNA damage or DNA corruption. Does it always work? No, people still die. But we're talking about the transformation of a human being into a different creature. And it's not done as easily as eating a slice of bread of genetically modified food or receiving a vaccine. Now, the question is, I have an article, and I consulted with some people on this. And I don't know if I want to tell you who, but one was another pastor that is a friend of mine. We don't always agree on everything, but I wanted to hear what he had to say about it. The other is a person that I know that is a very intelligent, very rational, conspiracy-minded Bible believer. Okay? And I ran what I learned about the two vaccines that are coming out on the COVID virus. Now, I don't know what else is in these vaccines. I don't know how they developed them. I didn't study that. The point of yesterday and today is to address the issue of, are they sinful in that they're going to change your DNA and turn you into some other creature? And are they or will they contain the mark of the beast, damning your soul to an everlasting hell? So the first question was, do they alter your DNA? Now, here's one article. This is from The Scientist, and I've read through this. I haven't examined it thoroughly, but I've read through it. And basically, this was sent to me by the really smart, Bible-believing Christian who does know there are conspiracies going on in this world. Okay? Because we're looking for the answer to these two questions. And they're called mRNA vaccines. Now, what does mRNA stand for? Messenger RNA. Okay? So if you want to, look this article up, read through it. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm not going to break it down for you. I don't have time. But I'm going to explain. I'm going to give you the answer to the two questions. And then you can decide what you want to do with it from there. I don't care if you do or don't get the vaccine. I don't care. I will tell you what I do care about. I care more about whether or not you get COVID. Because I've had it. Most of this church has had it. And there isn't a single one of us in this church that wants it ever again. We lost one of our good men because of it. And we have another one, our chief elder, Brother Sterling. The damage that it did to his lungs. I don't want to talk about it anymore. With as far as he's concerned, he's doing far better now than he has in a long time. And I love that man. But the COVID virus is a horrible, terrible disease. And let me tell you something. There's worse ones that they at some point may turn loose on this world. I don't know. All I know is you don't want COVID. You don't want it. So, question number one, does it change DNA? The answer is no. Now, you say, well, it's messenger RNA. That you said, let me explain it. When my body, this is how your body works, and there's so much Bible in this. The Bible teaches us to fight our enemies, right? Do our enemies win sometimes? Yes. Think diseases. Think infections. Do people still die of infections? Yes. Does that mean they can't go to heaven? No. Do people still die of cancer because their DNA got corrupted? Yes. Can they go to heaven? Yes. So, when my body came in contact with the COVID virus, two things started happening. Number one, the virus started replicating itself, and in doing so started damaging my body, particularly my lungs. The other thing that was happening was my body, which has done this probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of times throughout my lifetime already, took a sample of the virus and started breaking it apart to see what it looked like, what genetic structure it had, what it did, how it did it. And then because of the thing that God gave us, an immune system, my body figured out how to make antibodies. You know what that is? It is a soldier that kills viruses or germs. It is part of my immune system. So, now, with the case of COVID, it took 3 weeks. And during that 3 weeks, it damaged parts of my body, probably permanently. Small things, like my taste buds, my sense of smell. I don't taste things the way I used to. I don't smell things the way I used to. There are some things different about me. Now, they're sort of benign, I guess, and I'm fine. But it doesn't happen to everybody. It kills a lot of people. Because their body is learning how to fight it by building the right antibodies to kill the virus. Every copy of the virus that's in my body But if the virus does more damage faster than my body can kill every copy of the virus, I die. So, right now, my body is carrying antibodies to the COVID-19 virus. I could probably go to a blood bank and make some money because they're looking for the they're buying blood from people who've had COVID. Because why? Because they have the antibodies, the soldiers that know how to fight COVID. Why is it that you only get mumps once? Because after you get it the first time, your body breaks the mumps, whatever it is, down, figures out how it works, builds the antibodies for it, and remembers that. Now you always carry mumps antibodies in you, always, throughout your life. And once you've had mumps, you can go live in a colony of people with mumps, and you're never going to get sick. Now, you will be infected with the mumps, whatever that is, but you won't get sick. Because the body has the ability to fight it off as soon as they show up. Now, in a conventional vaccine, let me do full page here. In a conventional vaccine, the old way of doing it was they took the virus, somehow manufactured a dead copy of it. And by the way, do you know what a virus is? It's not even a living organism. It's a strand of RNA. That's all it is. It's a strand of RNA. An evil messenger. Think about that. That tries to invade the nucleus of the cell and put it, inject it. Some of you are worried about a vaccine changing your DNA more so than you are a virus changing your DNA. Because that's what viruses do. Do you not know that? Viruses are nothing but a strand of RNA that try to dig into your cell, attach itself to your DNA. Which is worse? Having a vaccine change your DNA or the virus changing your DNA? I don't know the answer to that one. But that's how it works. So, the typical old-style vaccines took in an inert, dead version of a virus, manufactured it somehow with eggs, grew them in eggs. I don't understand all that. But anyway, because they always ask you, are you allergic to eggs? Excuse me, I came from one. Anyway, then they inject it in you. Now your body, your immune system sees these foreign agents. And it starts breaking them apart, figuring out how they work and what they look like, and building antibodies to it. And vaccines are given to healthy people. People who don't have the virus. People who have already caught a virus don't get vaccinated. Why? Because your body's already in the process of making the antibodies to fight off that vaccine or that virus. Okay? Now, with mRNA vaccines, it's like playing a video game in God mode, sort of. It's like cheating. I don't play video games. I can't tell you the last time I played a video game. Back 15 years ago, I'd play like Half-Life or Castle Wolfenstein. If I played Castle Wolfenstein, the first thing I did was go online and find the cheat codes for it. And I type in the cheat codes so that no matter how many times I got shot, I don't die. That's just how I like to play them. I cheat every game. Yep, I admit it. So, messenger RNA vaccines, instead of introducing to your body And some people get actually catch the virus from vaccines. It happens. So instead of giving your body, introducing your body an inert, potentially dead virus so it can build antibodies, they're injecting and they're encapsulating them in nanoparticles, lipid, which are little tiny pieces of fat, nanoparticles. That's what they are. They're nanoparticles of fat. And they already have the messenger RNA that your body would already produce. That's the thing. And this is what when I first started reading it, I'm just going, I don't know about this. But then it occurred to me, this is something that my body is already going to produce. And it did. My body produced, using its own messenger RNA system, it already produced the antibodies. But my body had to learn the virus first, which took time. 3 weeks. By introducing messenger, I'll explain it like this. How can I explain it? Some of you read the Ten Commandments and you said, I'm never going to do that. Like, okay, thou shalt not kill. A lot of us read thou shalt not kill, which was a message to us from God's word. And we heeded the warning about killing somebody, murdering somebody, and so we've never killed anybody. Okay? Is that how I wanted to do it? Let me explain it like this. Let's say that our country went to war against a new terrorist organization that we had never seen before. We don't know what they look like. We don't know what uniform they wear. We don't know how they fight. Somebody's got to go out into their territory and find out what they look like and what they're killing with. Now, he's going to get beat up bad in the process. But once he has the intelligence, he's going to go back to headquarters. Headquarters is going to debrief him. And the guy's going to say, okay, they're wearing red patches on their arms, and they're all wearing gold earrings in their left ear, and they all have this kind of tattoo on their right forearm. That's how you recognize them. Okay, what are they fighting with? Okay, they're all using automatic weapons, and they're using grenade launchers, and they're using this. And he breaks down to the generals what he dealt with. So now we can send a whole batch of army men out who already know what the enemy looks like, how to identify them, and what they're fighting with, so we can shield ourselves against it. Does that make sense? The guys that we sent out, the second wave, they benefited by already knowing where the enemy is, what they're wearing, how to identify them, and how they fight. But the first wave of soldiers went out not knowing this. This is how your body fights off disease. First wave doesn't know what it's dealing with. And there's a battle going on, and it's killing you. Finally, they figure it out, and they tell the other parts of the body, build these antibodies this way, and they'll attack these guys, and it'll be no problem. But the first wave is all bloodied and half dead and whatever. So that's a messenger RNA vaccine. They are not giving you a virus, dead or alive. They're giving you the picture of the virus in a message that your cells can read, and it will start manufacturing the antibodies to kill it. Now, this technology is not old at all. It's a new way of doing things. And I hope I've explained it well enough that you understand. And this was the one hurdle that I had to get over. Since this is messenger RNA, should I allow this in my body? Well, it's not anything that my body wouldn't already produce on its own. Okay? In other words, if they gave me the messenger RNA vaccine, my body would start building the antibodies. Or I could get afflicted with the virus and my body's going to build the antibodies. The result is going to be the exact same thing. Okay? I had something else in my mind trying to explain it to you. It's like this. If you have a brother or sister, I have an older sister. My older sister went through things that I didn't have to go through. One story that I like to tell, and then I'm going to be done. I don't know if my timer hadn't gone off yet. One story I like to tell is this, that I watched my sister tell my mom that she had a loose tooth. And so my mom's old school. She takes a little piece of string, ties it to my sister's loose tooth, have you ever done this? You ever seen this happen? Tied the other end to the doorknob, slammed the door. Well, it didn't pull her tooth out the first time. She's standing there screaming bloody murder. Now, my mom must slam that door 3 or 4 times, finally get that tooth out. And I'm sitting there going, and you know what? From that day forward, I never told my mom I had a loose tooth. Nuh-uh. I ain't telling her that. Mm-mm. I'd sit there and work it with my tongue until it came out. And I go, Mom, I got a tooth. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that my sister experienced something that I saw it and I said, I'm not doing that. Okay? I watched the example and avoided that pain. Okay? When we see somebody do something wrong and we see how God gets them for it, what was Sodom and Gomorrah all about? Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? As an example of what He's going to do to everybody else who does what Sodom and Gomorrah did. So guess what? I'm not doing that. Okay? Why? Because I received the message from God. I don't have to get into sodomy to prove that God reacts very angrily toward sodomites. Do I? No. I see the example in the Bible. I believe it. And I'm there already. I get it. I believe it. Okay, so that's the illustration that I'm trying to make about messenger RNA vaccine, is that it bypasses what the body would do if it either received a dead version of the virus or a live version of the virus, which could kill you, and it simply sends in a message to your body's cells to start making these antibodies. Okay, that's all it does. And like I say, the two people that I consulted, I specifically consulted with them because they don't always agree with me on everything. I went to people that I felt I could trust to tell me the truth, not tell me what I want to hear. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? Do we not go? I don't go to Drudge Report anymore. You know why? I don't like what they say. They've gone liberal, and I don't go to their website anymore. There's another one I go to. I don't really like it, because I think it goes too far to the right. And I'm not there on some of those things. Anyway, that's what I did. I went to two people that I knew wouldn't tell me what I wanted to hear. They would tell me what they thought the truth was. And they agree that this vaccine, the messenger RNA vaccines, the two of them, I'm limiting my answers. They're the two of them that are out, coming out on the market. The way that I read the articles, the way I understand how those work, they do not alter the human genome and create a completely different creature out of the recipient. Doesn't happen. Number two, the mark of the beast. Let me show you something from Scripture. In fact, let's do this. Let's read Revelation 13. Let's read it and go over it again very quickly so you understand what the mark is and what it ain't. Revelation 13, verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth. Causeth, not forces. And this is where a lot of people are wrong. A lot of people, including people listening to me right now, you're dead wrong. Because you've read from so many websites that the Canadian government, Trudeau, and Trump are all going to get together and they're going to send the military guy, they're going to send the army out with tanks and machine guns and syringes. And they're going to come, go house to house, kicking in doors, forcing everybody at gunpoint to get a vaccine or they'll die. Or we're going to track them wherever they go. Now that may happen. That part about tracking people, guess what? It's been happening for years. That's what you've been carrying around. You've been carrying around your phone, and they've been tracking everywhere you go. And now you're worried about them tracking you because you got a vaccine? It's one more step of tracking everybody. And didn't we go along with it voluntarily already? Sure we did. And that's my point. The devil did not use coercion, force, or fear of death to get Eve, to entice Eve to eat the fruit. And eating the fruit in Genesis 3 is the example of people receiving the mark of the beast. It is the example. The devil did not coerce, force her. He didn't even tell her to eat it. He just flipped the switch that with us, he's flipped a million times before, hasn't he? He's flipped our switch before, hasn't he? He's got us turned on to things that we don't like. But we did them. And may every now and then do it again. So that's how that mark is going to be taken, not forced. Not using fear tactics to make you afraid that you're going to die and that you're not going to be able to eat and you're going to lose your job. And that's not how he's going to get everybody to take the mark. He's just going to use three simple tools: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Not fear of death. Pride of life. Which one or which two or which three? Well, which three are yours? What's your trigger? If the devil were going to tempt you, if the false prophet was going to tempt you to take a mark in your right, and see, that's, vaccines aren't given in the right hand or forehead. Not any ones that I'm aware of. How would he do it? I think you already know. I think you already know the answer to if the false prophet were going to talk you into receiving a mark in your right hand or forehead, you already know how, what way he would entice you to do it. You already know. And having a gun and a tank aimed at your front door is not it. Is it? So, verse 13, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, causes them, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Causes them to receive it. Like a woman receives a lover. Causes them. Okay? So, you know, we got to bring in a lot of things like the fourth kingdom. And who's the fourth kingdom? Principalities and powers. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the things that we wrestle against every day that we need the shield of faith to fight against. So an issue came up in the book of Acts about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised and follow the law. And of course, you know, they had the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Peter standing up saying, hey, I was at Cornelius' house. They're all Gentiles. The Holy Ghost fell on them. They all spoke in tongues. Not a one of them was circumcised. So what does that tell us? That God accepts these men without the works of the law. So James stood up and said, you know, hey, we're all Jews here, right? We didn't keep the law. Well, we're going to make them do it. But they all agreed on this one thing. And there were four pieces to it. That tells me, number one, it's related to the fourth kingdom. Definitely. And it's related to the false gospel. Four times, Paul warned. Another gospel, another gospel, any other gospel, any other gospel. Four times. And it was this right here. And he said, here's the sentence that he was going to give them. He said, I believe we are to do this. The apostles and elders and the brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So we have four guys going out, Barnabas, Paul, Judas, and Silas. Do you think that's a coincidence, an accident? No. This is God showing us this number. It's there for a reason. He said, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. In other words, okay, you don't have to keep the law to be saved. That's why you need to be saved, because you didn't keep the law. But here's four things here. Number one, you abstain from meats offered to idols. Number two, from blood. Don't drink blood. Number three, things strangled. Why? Because cursed is he that hangeth from a tree. And from fornication. Now here's what's interesting. You remember how I always say, like, if you have four things, three of them are the same and one of them's different? Take a look at that list. Three of those issues that they warned them about involved the ingesting of a food item. But specific food item. Any kind of food sacrificed to an idol. Blood. Why? Blood's where the life is. And anything that hang from a tree or has been strangled.
Don't eat those things. Now, why do you suppose those were so important that they would tell the Gentiles, hey, keeping the law does not save you? And God has obviously chosen the Gentiles, even though they haven't kept the law. But you don't eat these three things here. And then you stay away from fornication. Now, I want to bet something. I want to bet that out of all the people who scream the loudest about not receiving a vaccine have probably committed fornication. Don't you think? Almost bet you. And yet, there's the four things right there. Now, I don't know everything about the Bible, and I don't know everything about the mark of the beast. The only thing I have to go on is the clues that God's Word is giving us. And I think these four things here mean something in regards to how people are going to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I think that has something to do with it. You know, in a lot of religions, I've been studying Hinduism, Buddhism, Eastern mysticism. Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14, sixth man to walk on the moon, on his way back from the moon, had what's called a samadhi experience. You know what that was? He was probably meditating. I'm guessing he was probably meditating on the capsule coming back from the moon. And went into a deep trance and opened up doors. And he said he received this samadhi experience where he found out, his consciousness was raised, and he found out that he literally was the same with everything in the universe. He was, in fact, a god. And I've been studying people who have had kundalini, samadhi experiences, shaktipat, things I've talked about, slain in the spirit. You know what they all say? That it was better than you know what. You know what I'm talking about? Said it was that on a cosmic scale. The rush of bliss that overtook them was the greatest thing that they've ever felt in their entire life. That, I think, is the fornication part. Receiving the mark of the beast is as much a religious experience as it is anything else. And God is going to make sure that everybody that He knows is going to worship that beast is going to receive that mark. And God is likewise going to make sure that those who don't worship the beast and are not going to, never will. So, you want to believe it's vaccines, believe it's vaccines. I can't 100% tell you you're wrong. I don't believe it will be. I don't think any of us right now know 100% what it's going to be. But I do know for a fact that if you are truly born again, you're not getting it. It's that simple. Okay? Listen, I love you. I say these things, spend this time with you, because I do. I'm not the smartest guy on the internet. I'm not sometimes the easiest to get along with. but I love you. And I hate it when people make up fake sins that are not in the Bible. And I don't like seeing people in fear and bondage, because I know what that's like, and I do. I hate it. Okay? You're the reason why I do what I do. Keep praying for us, keep praying for me, and I love you even if you don't like me. Even if you disagree with me on everything I just said today, I do want you to think